Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. We're talking to our regular guests from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, from the Division of Consumer Protection, joining us to talk about scams, and I'm hoping that you'll be able to join in. Michael Domke is one of our guests, Michelle Ryan the other. Michael is the director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection. Michael, good to have you back.
Thanks, Larry. Happy to be here.
And Michelle Ryan is the Executive Policy Initiatives Advisor of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection.
Good morning, Larry.
Nice to have you with us as well, both in the studio with me today. And we'll talk about what you should know about the latest scams. We'll answer all your questions. And if you have a consumer concern, I hope you'll join in. The number is 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234, or shoot an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Michelle, you receive thousands of inquiries every year. How many typically are you able to resolve?
So about 90% of the complaints that we receive, we mediate and reach some form of resolution. That could mean an offer to the consumer that they may or may not accept because they may not like it, you know, a financial offer there. It could be a replacement good or, you know, a service honored. It could also be getting their number removed from a call list. You know, it depends what the consumer is seeking, but we consider all of those in that resolution category.
And typically, is there something that stands in the way of the resolution? I mean,
well, what could stand in the way is the company not wanting to honor the agreement that they entered into, or maybe the company has fallen on financial hard times for various reasons, or they're just, you know, misconduct and wrongdoing, or flat out scam. I mean, there are those as well, those individuals that we've certainly talked to on the show that have gotten involved in a scam and we just can't trace it back to that source to find any resolution. Yeah. And some do take years, you know, as well. We've certainly talked about that, where some resolutions can take years and there can be a penalty to the company, but there's no solution for the consumer. You know, the individual or the company gets penalized for the conduct, but again, there's nothing. And you could go back to, what was it, 2017, when we talked about the big call center rings that were broken down in cooperation with international authorities and national authorities here. Just a great effort across the nation.
Well, today in my emails, what popped up was an email from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection with the top 10 consumer complaints from 2022. And, you know, I'd like to go through those and maybe go in reverse order and start with the lowest of the number 10. And, Michael, what do we have there?
Well, number 10 deals with automotive sales, those new and used cars. And this is a unique area where we have kind of a shared overlapping authority with the Department of Transportation. And so we work together to identify what complaints should stay with us and what should head over there. And for us, we're dealing primarily with prize promotions, advertisings, you know, those annoying postcards that you're getting in the mail saying extend your warranty and we can offer you coverage and things like that. So we'll get those complaints. We'll dig a little deeper into those companies and try and make sure they're not misleading consumers and they're acting honestly.
Yeah, you had almost a couple hundred complaints, I think, in that area. So I was thinking back, I had a, I don't know, 20 years ago, maybe I had a brand new car that went wrong. In fact, the O-rings had been failed to be put in on one side of the pistons.
Oh.
So a new engine was in order, but I actually was able to, I went right back to the dealer. The dealer's, oh my gosh, that was resolved without having to go for complaints. And I think sometimes it's, typically I suppose people would go to the person they're trying to deal with first, but maybe not. And that's probably the best idea, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what we really encourage consumers to do, is start with the source. You know, yeah. Who did you purchase the item from, the car in this case that we're talking about, and start there. What agreement do you have? What's covered? What's warranty? There might be particular laws in place if it's a brand new car and the manufacturer's not honoring something and it's a repeat problem. Lemon law, and Michael could talk about those things extensively, having come from DOT. And certainly that's where we encourage consumers to start with any company. And if you're not receiving any communication back or the resolution that you're seeking, that's when we then encourage you to file that complaint.
So that's number 10. Number 9, I thought, gee whiz, furniture and home furnishings, that would create complaints, huh?
Yeah, this is a new one for us. And yeah. So this one really dealt with refurbishing furniture, taking some of those old pieces and wanting to rehab them. And, you know, there's a couple of different reasons people might want to do it. You know, things are getting a little bit more expensive, so it could just decide it's a little bit cheaper to restore it than get something new. And this has to do with that whole business and industry. And the complaints really generated around getting those products back on time. You know, they promise a certain amount, but businesses, you know, may not understand how long it's going to take to refab some things. Could be difficult to get those products to get them back to a condition that the customer wanted. And so with that taking off, we saw an uptick in these.
So, yeah, I had another one of those ones, too, where I had a new very long sofa purchased, and it wasn't coming. But I talked to the people, and they said, well, what we're trying to do is find the same color matched for such a long piece. And so, I'd rather have it all matched than not. So it took a little longer, but, you know, still got a very nice sofa that I still have, as a matter of fact. So furnishings, furniture and home furnishings, number 9. Number 8, there's another one that kind of surprised me. Health and medical device.
Yeah, this is probably new to people in concept with the top 10. Certainly, it's the first time the category has made the top 10, 217 complaints. I will say that a majority of these complaints involve a single company that we're working with to reach resolutions for these consumers. But if you think of some of the television ads you're going to see, you can get products by mail now to assist with conditions that you may have, or maybe prescriptions that you have.
Hearing aids.
Diabetic medical equipment that you might need, testing equipment, incontinence products, you know, all sorts of things that you can get by mail in different ways now. And so these are those health and medical devices or products. And so we monitor that because it's become a different industry than it once was, certainly with the advertising that's done, as well as with the delivery process that exists as well. So we're working with that company that just did not deliver, has failed to deliver, delayed to deliver products that consumers had ordered here.
And by the way, I should give the number again. I keep forgetting to do that. And if you want to join in with your own comments as you're listening here, or your own concerns, I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us, email address ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Number 7 on the list, Michael.
Number 7 is travel, and this is a category that was on in 2020, and this one encompasses everything from airline reservations, hotels, rental cars, and, you know, we kind of had that respite of traveling overall in 2020, 2021, and things are starting to pick up again. And so as you increase that frequency, you're going to start to see more opportunities for billing disputes. Maybe you have to cancel and you have the refund adjustment, and making sure you're paying attention to those policies and what you can do and can't, depending on the carrier.
I was working at home during the COVID time period, and I had some money that needed to come back to me. And because I was at home, I was able to, I got on, and then I was put on hold, and I plugged the phone in to the power source and waited 5 hours and 15 minutes.
Right.
That is a familiar story during that period of time, you know. Companies pivoting to be able to respond and all sorts of things.
I mentioned in a friendly tone that I'd been waiting 5 hours and 15 minutes. And the guy said, we're going to take care of this right now. And we got kind of laughed about it. He said, you can't imagine how busy we are. But waiting all that time, I was able to get that check arrived pretty quickly, as a matter of fact. So.
You know, one thing I'll say that's current event on this topic is what we're seeing right now in 2020. A lot of travel plans went out the window, and companies, depending upon the type of cancellation policy they had and whether or not it dealt with a pandemic type situation, offered credits for a future trip, and they put expirations on those. And what we saw is that company may not have been operating again because the pandemic continued beyond what they anticipated, because maybe they said expired in 2021 and people may have not been comfortable, or maybe they just didn't operate at that point because they couldn't get enough. They just couldn't get enough participants. And so then that takes us forward to 2022 or 2023. And have they extended that cancellation that credit to you, or are you seeking a refund, or what's happening at this point? We've seen a few say they've issued a refund, but really there hasn't been. So certainly something, if you are in that area where you had a credit, take a look at that. Reach out to the company. See where you're at with that if you haven't taken advantage of it yet. And if you're having trouble, reach out to consumer protection on that. But that's that long-lasting issue here we want to make sure we're keeping track of.
Yeah. We had one on a trip to my wife at the time and her mother, a trip to New York, and the travel company had canceled, and then they could not return the money because they didn't have any money.
Yeah.
And actually, somebody wound up going to jail for that. But we still get a check every so often for about $10. Paying it back over time, and it's been like I'm talking over 20 years ago, and we'll get a check for $10 here or there.
Yeah, this is a unique one too because of the business type that it is that you're trying to fit back in. So if you have an airline credit or hotel credit, you can't just kind of pick up whenever you want to use it. It's kind of timed with when can you take a vacation, when is it affordable, when is hotel availability, when are the flights available. So it's a little bit more frustrating, causes some consumer angst because of that.
Well, that's travel. We've got number six. And let's talk about that one, then we'll take some calls. Medical services.
Yeah, so this one deals with, and what we focus on a little bit is the billing aspect of the medical providers and how are they working. And a big impact on this category was the No Surprises Act that passed last year. And what that did is it added a level of transparency to the billing and the services that are provided. And we work alongside the Department of Health Services, Human Health Services, on this to sort out, where we can help out, where we can work together and collaborate. And for us, it really deals with what type of billing was promised and then what type of bills were or what type of services were you charged for. And so we always encourage consumers to look at that bill. Are the things that you're being itemized for or listed, did you actually get them? Were you actually there that day? Did the things that you're charging you for actually happen? And looking at those issues.
And sometimes the cost is, it's very enlightening to look at that. We had a bill from a daughter who was had to be in the emergency room for ailment, she's fine. But at the time, and then I get the bill, and I'm looking at the COVID test, the cost of that was $250. Mm. I'm thinking, a COVID test? It's eye-opening to have that information for sure. Well, Rick and Madison, I'd love to have you join in. Thanks for calling.
Yes, I have a comment about the problems with Hyundai and Kia cars that are being stolen very easily. And now insurance companies are saying that if you aren't insured with them, they're not going to insure these cars anymore. And there is a fix to it, which costs about $500. it's a software fix, and then also something that if the windows get broken, the alarms go off. But now they're penalizing the owners of this car, these cars, and the manufacturer Hyundai wants you to pay that $500. And I don't know if there's any like laws. I know there's some lawsuits out there, and I was wondering if you have any information on that. Just don't think it's fair that a consumer has to pay that.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for calling. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, Rick, I am familiar with the situation you're describing, and you are correct. There is some lawsuits out there directing this. Some of them are targeting the manufacturer themselves in regards to their knowledge of this issue and what do they do to prevent it and what do they do to remedy it. In regards to the insurance aspect, that one's kind of new for me, and that would be something that certainly the Office of Commissioners of Insurance could possibly provide some insight as to whether those carriers should be providing coverage or if they're violating the policies in doing so.
Yeah. So that falls under that purview of the Office of the Commissioner of Insurance.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much for calling, Rick. You can join in, too. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email to ideas@WPR.org. What questions do you have about consumer issues? Love to hear from you. Jill Nadeau, by the way, is our producer. Tyler Ditter is our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Taking a look at consumer issues today on the program with our two guests from the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection within our Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Michelle Reinen and Michael Domke, it's great to have them back. And certainly, again, if you have a question, you can join us at 800-642-1234 or email to ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. This next one, I think, is a kind of appropriate in some ways because here we are right in the middle of Identity Theft Awareness Week. And it's identity theft that turned up number five.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll talk about the category and then let Michael tell you about the week and what's happening there. But 513 complaints related to identity theft this last year. And really, this is a category that is about people that believe that their identity has been stolen because maybe they've received a collections call and have information and they have no credit with that individual. Could be they have something wrong with their credit report if they're doing that monitoring. It could be that they have been impacted by a data breach, which is certainly we see reports of that all the time in the news. And there are a number of steps that I just want to put out there for people to take to help protect your data. And we talk about that during Cybersecurity Month, yeah. Data Privacy Day in January, all sorts of things. And so there are ways that you can protect your identity, one of them being making sure you have a security freeze on your credit report, making sure you examine your explanation of benefits when you get a medical bill, look at your Social Security statement to be sure you don't have other employment jobs that you didn't know about. All sorts of things you can do. But at the same time, monitor. You need to monitor, not just put protections in place and alerts. You need to look at the information and pay attention to warning signs. If all of a sudden your mail plummets and you're not getting any more and you didn't stop it, has it been redirected and things? And taking action right away, reading privacy policies and putting privacy settings on your devices and things, again, and then monitor for suspicious activity on your devices. So this is a category to remind us all to put in good best practices. But the week itself...
Michael, you want to talk about the week itself?
Well, the week itself emphasizes a lot of the things that Michelle just covered, and that is awareness. You know, unfortunately, identity theft is one of those things where you hear about it and you think, well, it won't happen to me. And then once it happens to you, it's too late, and the recovery process can take a long time. It can be very difficult to do. And so what we want to do is we want to continually bring awareness to how much information is out there, how you're using it, all the different areas that you can take a small little step to protect yourself. And that little bit of forefront protection can save you a lot of heartache and money down the road. And in doing so, you have, as we look at these digital platforms, we expand more and more of our information. It's not just there, but, you know, at home and paper and things. And what we do at the agency is we also want to bring awareness of how we can help. And so if you do become a victim of identity theft, the first thing you want to do is file a police report so you have that. And that police report helps us with our ability to liaison between the victim and the creditors and their lenders or any other area which they were impacted. And that's a free service we provide, and we encourage everybody to help us or to use us to help them get that restored, because it can be a very, very painful and difficult process.
And again, we haven't given the phone number or the email or the web address. We should do that, too. But you wanted to add something as well.
Yeah. Well, let's give that number for consumer protection is 1-800-422-7128. And for resources, you know, that you want to go look at, you can go to the website at datcp.wi.gov. But what I wanted to add about this week is it used to be, you know, Tax Identity Theft Awareness Week, really tied to taxes because we're at that, we're in tax season, if you will. It's starting. And so that's something you can do right now. Remember, file as early as possible. As soon as you get all your information, get that filing. Beat that identity thief to the filing. Get your return rather than someone else get it. And if you haven't, sign up for that federal and state identity protection personal identification number, or the IP PIN, with both the IRS and the Department of Revenue, the State Department of Revenue. That's that extra layer of protection as it relates to your taxes. We have it for email, the multi-factor authentication. Let's put it on our taxes as well. So just that's the history of this week, and just a reminder, you know, we're in that tax thing right now.
I just got the last of, I think, three things arrived on February 1st. So they were, I think, a day late, but I think they're supposed to be in by the end of January. But,
yeah, I'm not sure. Pretty... Some years it's mid-February. You know, it's moved around.
It depends. It depends a little bit, too, I think, on what kinds of returns that you're expecting to get. Mary in Pewaukee has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Mary.
Yes, good morning. I wanted to just go over that people should think about their credit card company, because they're usually standing behind you for any help that you might need. I just had a situation where I was kind of pushed by a very handsome salesman who wanted me to purchase a product for my face. And, you know, then they kind of lure you to sit down and have this moisturizer put on and an uplifting look. And long story short, you go to your credit card company if you feel that you've kind of been pushed into something. This has happened to people that have been talked into timeshares and other things. So just go to your credit card company. It's called arbitration. You just stay on top of it. Make sure that you aren't charged for it. They typically will not charge you until the arbitration is complete. And I just went through something like that because I kind of fell prey to being seduced in a way by a handsome Italian man.
Okay. Well, I can just add to that. I had my own credit card company call me on the phone and say, did you order some expensive jewelry and have it sent to Arizona? And I said, no. And they said, we didn't think so. So they took care of it.
The fraud departments are so strong with credit card companies now. They're alerting you before you even notice this charge on your credit card, which is fantastic. But if you're monitoring your charges, whether in almost real time on an app or online, or if you're waiting for your monthly bill, you have 60 days from when the charge appears to file that dispute, which is that process Mary was going into and taking a look at it. And it can be for things you feel you were, as she said, seduced into, or it can be for things...
High-pressured into, maybe?
Yeah, it could be for things that you absolutely did not purchase, you know, or that weren't as promised. You know, you didn't get it as delivered. And so we have a means of helping with that, depending upon who want to know about it. But the credit card company, they can take really swift action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and earlier Michelle had mentioned that credit freeze, but another service that the credit reporting agencies offer is a fraud alert. So in your situation is perfect, Larry, where if you have something that looks suspicious, you can make one phone call and it'll place alert. And what that does is it kind of creates that multi-factor authentication for your purchases. And it says, hey, we just want to make sure you really want to purchase this. And that'll stay on for a year and you can continue to renew it. But it's just that one extra level when something suspicious happens, if you're looking and see it, to make sure you're protected.
Well, we have Gloria in Waukesha with something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Gloria.
Hi. I play on my telephone games, and I keep getting alerts from Social Security that they've issued another bonus check for you, and I've never answered them, but I've never heard anybody say that those things were fraud. And I'm just wondering if those things are fraud or not.
Yeah. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, Gloria, if you're receiving a notification from the Social Security Department in a game, I can almost assuredly tell you that that is not legitimate and that is a scam. This is one of the top scams that we see here at Consumer Protection, and those are government imposters. So it's not just Social Security, it's IRS, it's many of our state agencies here where these fraudsters are impersonating them to try and get your personal information or tell you that you want something or you need to make a payment. And all of that stuff being done to try and facilitate identity theft, which, you know, we were just talking about. So the key to remember is these government agencies, if they have an issue or something, they're going to send you a letter. They're never going to call you or text you or ask you for any of your personal information. And if by chance you do think that maybe there is some legitimacy and maybe something got through, never respond to any of the numbers, the links, or anything that you're receiving. Just call that agency directly by a well-known number.
Gloria, thank you so much for calling. Again, you can join us, 800-642-1234. Give a call. Lucas in Jefferson, we'll go to you next. Hi, Lucas.
Hi. I just got a question. I've been, I guess, the victim of identity fraud in the past through insurance agency leaks and things like that. So I have experience with a lot of this stuff, credit freezes and things like that. But so I'm just kind of very aware of my credit rating and credit history and things like that, but my current monitoring is actually through a lot of my credit cards. They usually give programs through that for fraud protection, things like that. I'm just wondering if that's a good way to go about monitoring it. They do usually give like a free FICO credit score monitoring per month, and so I was kind of going by the basis of seeing if that dipped like significantly from the previous month, if there was some account that was open that you're not aware of, because with these attacks, you're not really going to know about it until someone charges a new credit card or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the kind of monitoring we're talking about can impact a credit score, but we're not talking about monitoring your credit score specifically, because that indicates whether or not the banks or the lender thinks that that would be a good loan or at what rate they want to charge that loan. We're looking at the information on the report. Has someone tried to manipulate an address? Has someone tried to take out an extension of credit in your name? Do they have another loan? And yes, that then can have an impact, but we're looking at the actual data that the algorithm factors in to you know, look at the score, but we aren't looking at the financial aspect of that score. So using those services is one tool that's available, and you can take advantage of that. But the tools we're talking about are also free to you, so you don't have to you know, pay for a service to do it. You don't need to engage with a credit card company that you may have or that looks interesting because they offer that to you. These are all things that you can do for free on your own.
And the three credit card monitoring agencies, if I'm not mistaken, you can do the one a year, or is it more than that? I forgot.
The three credit reporting agencies, those are Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian.
Yeah.
And you can get a free credit report from each of those once per year. So we often encourage you to stagger that, so you're getting one every 4 months, and you can see what's going on there. If you're not going to get in that habit, use whatever trick you need to. Make it your birthday present and order them that day. You know, make it your Valentine. Whatever it is, set yourself into a routine. Treat yourself somehow to be sure you're getting that information and getting those credit reports and taking a look at them.
Yeah. And I would add, Lucas, the one question he had was, is this a good way to actively monitor? And I would say any monitoring is better than not doing anything at all. So many of us don't even look at it. And all the tools that Michelle mentioned and things that Lucas mentioned, just take that proactive effort to just pay attention.
And Lucas, thanks again for calling. Appreciate it. Tom in Madison, we'll go to you next. Hi, Tom.
Hello. I almost got done by this Microsoft scam, and I did call the number, and they said they'd report it to the FBI, and that they wanted me to go to withdraw money out of my credit union and go to the bank and get a e-wallet, which I don't know what it was. And I was on it for a while, then I thought, something's wrong here. I better go to the Do It Center at the university. But I did. I don't think they took anything, but is there anything that can be done about things like that?
These Microsoft scams. And Michael, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, unfortunately, not a whole lot you can do. And these are a type of scam that has been around for a long time. And it's not just Microsoft. It's probably one of the most popular ones we see. But a lot of online platforms and softwares offer the same thing. Subscriptions, you need to update, send us your information to make sure, you know, whatever is accurate and correct. And I would say similar to what the call earlier is, if you're getting these, don't respond to them. Don't use any of the information that's being provided. If you do think you need to renew, find that true source of contact online, do a quick search, and then reach out to them directly, because 99% of them are going to be scams.
Yeah, unfortunately. Tom, thanks for calling. Audrey in New Berlin, your turn.
Good morning.
Morning.
In mid-November, I purchased a new refrigerator freezer from a well-known Milwaukee area appliance center. And when it was delivered a few days before Thanksgiving, the delivery people could not get the handle to fit on the freezer door. So they said I could either have them take it back, but I needed a refrigerator freezer, or I could contact the salesman and he would take care of it, getting me a new handle. Well, I have been doing that since November, and I am getting nowhere. He just said, oh, it's back ordered, it's back ordered. So then I contacted one of their other, what this appliance center's other offices, and I was told, call customer service directly. I have been doing that since last week. No one returns my call.
Yeah. All right, Michelle?
It's time. It's time to file that complaint with Consumer Protection. And that's an excellent example of making every effort and having a record of the contacts you've made. But I would reach out to Consumer Protection. And you can call the hotline and they can send you a form at 1-800-422-7128. Or go to our website and file directly there at datcp.wi.gov.
Yeah, 1-800-422-7128 for the phone or online, datcp.wi.gov. Those are the, and we'll probably be repeating those, Audrey. If you didn't have a pencil handy, we'll be repeating those. And also, we always have those up on the Larry Mueller Show website. We'll have that under program notes of today's date. We'll have that information there. Ideas at WPR.org/Larry. Go to today's date, and it'll be there under program notes. Audrey, thank you. Very frustrating, I'm sure. But the folks at DATCP are going to be able to help out, I'm pretty sure. Bill in Waukesha, we'll go to you next. Hi, Bill.
Hi. I've called in the past about this same subject, but charities that I have to send them a letter by mail to get them to stop calling. But they quick hang up before I get any information. And then, let's see, last Thursday, they had called. My wife talked to them and said, don't call. Okay. Like, Friday, the very next day, they called 10 to 12 times on Friday alone.
Hmm.
So, I guess I'm required to send them a letter to get them to stop calling, but they're free to harass somebody.
Yeah. Well, Michelle, do you want
to... Yeah, it sounds to me, Bill, that these aren't legitimate charities calling. They could be imposter charities or professional fundraisers that appear to be acting on behalf of a charity. You know, if you've sent a letter and you're not getting a response, file a complaint with Consumer Protection. If you have the phone numbers they are calling from off a caller ID, you can provide that list and contact Consumer Protection. And we can try and track them down that way as to who they really are based on if that number's legitimate that's appearing on your caller ID and not what we call spoofed, where it's misrepresented. But these, you know, scammers, they're not going to be responsive. A legitimate charity calling, trying to raise, is going to listen to you, write a note, give you the information you need. A professional fundraiser might be more aggressive in their nature and hang up and maybe be a bit more persistent in calling back. And a scammer, they don't care what you have to say, and they're going to just be more harassing in nature. So while they're saying they're a charity, in that upfront, everything you're saying indicates to me that they're not legitimate.
And this and the do not call list doesn't actually work when it's, or does it, when they're these guys, the crooks are doing the calling.
When the crooks are doing the calling, they don't care about the do not call list. They don't care about any of the rules that they're supposed to abide by. They just want to get your information and get you to respond to them. But to the point, the do not call list is very effective for all of those that do want to comply. All those registered telemarketers that are doing things the way they're supposed to, many of them will be compliant with that list to make sure they don't call you.
And just for that point of clarification, it's about solicitations with the do not call list, and charities are exempt. So even if it's a legitimate charity, they don't have to honor the do not call list. But many do because they don't want to be bothering people who don't want to receive phone calls, but they're not required to.
Yeah. If I was on that side, I'd want to know who didn't want the call, because it's just a waste of time for everybody. Bill, thank you for calling. And Amy in Madison, we'll go to you. Hi, Amy.
Hello. I just had a quick question regarding how comfortable, or I guess how much control do federal agencies feel they have over how private companies handle personally identifiable information, sorry for stuttering. When it comes to these big data breaches we read about in the news, I think general consumer confidence is kind of not plummeted, but it's getting lower and lower all the time with regard to how carefully private businesses treat their very sensitive information, anything from addresses to emails to more sensitive things like social security numbers. Are there any sort of proactive measures happening behind the scenes that consumers should be aware of with regard to audits or security and technological standards that are being met or not met? Or is it all simply reactionary and we find out when the messes happen and then penalize the company?
Hmm. Michelle?
That's a great question, Amy, and it's a big question. Let me just say that it has many parts to it. So there is no one specific federal law that governs all data and its privacy. There are particular federal regulations as it relates to your health information. There are state laws regarding your insurance information. So there are parts and pieces that talk about protection and breach notification and some security, but there is no one overarching regulation. There has been legislation introduced at both the federal level, so we anticipate seeing that being introduced again this legislative cycle, as well as at the state level. There's been different bills introduced that deal with privacy and some deal with security. our state and every state has a data breach notification law, but they differ across the board and across the nation. So when a company needs to notify you that a breach has happened just so you can take action, but again, it's not about having protected it or told you what they're doing with it. The other point that I can say on this is federally and even at the state level, what we've seen as far as regulation is if a company takes in your data and has a privacy policy and hasn't then honored that privacy policy or followed it, so it's been misrepresented to the consumer, there's been an avenue to take actions with companies about that, that they haven't followed and done with the data what they said they were going to, whether it be secure it or sell it or not share it and share it. So there are different avenues, but it's not as detailed and encompassing as I think Amy is seeking.
Absolutely. Amy, a good point. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it very much. Taking a look at consumer issues on the show today, consumer protection issues with our guest Michelle Reinen and Michael Domke of the Bureau of Consumer Protection within the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Looking at consumer issues on the show today with Michelle Reinen and Michael Domke from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection there within the Bureau of Trade and Consumer Protection. Great to have them back. Questions for them, you can give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email to ideas@wpr.org. And let's take another call. Chris in Fairchild, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, howdy and good afternoon, sir. See, the one thing that I do when it comes to whether it's shopping or banking or subscription services, I use I use an email account, and I'll use like John Doe A, John Doe B, John Doe C, and I can all funnel it into basically one central email, but it allows me to separate my banking from my shopping to like a subscription service. And if there's some kind of data breach where my name has gotten out there or somebody has illicitly gained my information, it kind of makes it a little easier to be able to track back to where that information got away from. And, you know, let me either be able to contact that service or discontinue any use with that service. That's just kind of one thing I like to put out there. I know Gmail creates, it's relatively pretty simple to use, and and it kind of gives me that ability to do that, to kind of to use the term kind of air gap between my shopping, my banking, my personal. And that way, if somebody does get my information, perhaps they don't get every bit of it.
Yeah, all of it. Yeah. What do you think, Michael?
Well, I think that data breach is unfortunately becoming something we're seeing a little bit more common. And any, I guess, device or method or approach you can take to try and sort that out or protect yourself is great. One thing we were talking earlier about data breaches when Amy had called in was, and I wanted to mention a service that we at the Bureau of Consumer Protection provide, is if we are made aware of a data breach impacting Wisconsin consumers, we'll publish that on our website. And we'll keep those up to date with when it happened, who was impacted, so that the consumers here in the state can at least have a little bit of awareness of when they were impacted and whether or not that company reached out to them. But if, you know, in Chris's situation, he knows that he did business with XYZ company because he had the email account, he might want to look a little bit closer.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Chris. Appreciate the call. Dennis in Appleton, your turn. Hi, Dennis.
Thank you. Got a question about credit cards, because my wife and I have had probably over the last year and a half, 2 years, we've had our credit cards compromised several times. Well, four times.
Yeah.
And the last time was just before Christmas. We had two credit cards compromised within a week of each other. And then it took almost a month before we got new cards. But it's like we're doing everything we believe we should be doing right, but the credit or the credit union just says there's really not much you can do besides once you see something that's suspicious, you report it, but then they freeze the card. I don't know what I'm trying to figure out if there's something else that we can do.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and especially right before Christmas when you might be using your credit card and then somebody hacks it and then you don't have the credit card available. That can be, you know, in some places they'll only take a credit card anymore rather than a check or even money, real money. Michael?
Yeah, Dennis, it sounds like if you haven't already, I would really encourage you to make sure you have a credit freeze on if you're running into this many times. If you're just replacing cards and those are getting compromised on the same accounts, it sounds like there might be a bigger issue with some of the information being out there. But I would certainly make sure you have that credit freeze so new accounts can't be opened in your name. And then also looking out and saying, all right, well, where might it be coming from? You know, one of the things we, I guess it's an easy tip is if you're online shopping with that card, is how are you registering it and how many different sites? And so one thing we think about as we get into more of a digital commerce atmosphere is just using a guest profile. So if your number is saved on a certain website and can continue to be compromised, even though you get a new card, that can perpetrate over and over and over again. But if you go to some of these different ones, just use a guest profile. They don't know who you are. Your information's not saved. It limits the opportunities for that.
Hmm. Yeah.
I mean, one other step is to just take a step back from that and just run a virus check on your computer as well, just to make sure it's not compromised in some way and isn't reading the information. If it's related to online, you know, talk to your credit card company, too, and see if there's a particular trigger that may be happening at a store. You know, there's still the good old-fashioned skimmers out there, you know, if it's swipe versus the chip. Is there some reader that's still grabbing the information somewhere as well? So just be looking for those types of situations that could present themselves.
Yeah, there you go, Dennis. Thanks for calling. Jim in Madison, your turn.
Good morning. Often I hear on the radio this ad saying that the title to your home can be stolen on the Internet, so call us for protection. Is that valid or is that just scare tactics?
I would say most of the time that's a scare tactic, and hopefully a red flag is going off for you when you hear that. Most of those companies, when they're reaching out proactively and they have this too-good-to-be-true offer, or they're offering you something that just doesn't seem reasonable, it probably isn't.
Yeah. So take that, Jim, and and keep that in mind. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Star in Arkdale, we'll go to you. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I recently, well, about 3 years ago, worked part-time for a school, and now I got a letter that said, you know, we had a security incident, and they offer us some free online, you know, credit monitoring, but it's on Xerox paper, and I just didn't trust it, and that's a matter of trust for every company. So I did call the school, and they said it is legitimate, but, you know, how do you, where do you put your trust, and how do you know without, I guess, following through and checking up on it?
You said it. That's exactly right. Follow through with a reliable resource or source of information to verify what you've received. If you'd gotten a letter and it was a big national, it'd be all over the news and you'd know that. This is a local school that's been impacted. It might have been in a local paper and so you'd be aware. But sometimes they're reporting to consumers before it hits the news as well so you can take action. But you hit it. Just verify by checking with sources to see that it is legitimate in that way.
Yeah, it's the best way to do it, Star. Thank you so much. Craig in Stevens Point emailed. He heard that a law recently changed in Wisconsin regarding making for sale confections and food items in home kitchens. Wondering what has changed specifically and what has not changed. I have a show coming up on that with Lisa Kivarist, who is one of the people who asked for the law, and it was passed. But are you up on that, Michelle?
Well, unfortunately, no. That would be our Division of Food and Recreational Safety, and so you can certainly go to our website, and they would have information underneath that division. Again, Division of Food and Recreational Safety. Our website is datcp.wi.gov. Often with that information, they're also going to have a contact phone number. And if you don't have access online, you can certainly call our hotline and they will give you the number for that division and may even be able to transfer you. But the hotline again is 1-800-422-7128. Just note, our staff won't have the answers. They'll have the phone number of who you can reach out to.
And I was just checking back to see when I'm having Lisa on. Not about March 23rd, I think it is. We'll be getting 45 minutes worth of discussion in March if you don't need the information right now, as a matter of fact. Well, here's the deal. You can call in with a consumer complaint or issue or maybe an experience to share. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or you could email us to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Michelle Reinen and Michael Donkey are guests today, and they're going to be with us right up until 12:30 to answer your questions. So we'll take a quick look now at the news. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back with our guests. You stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're taking consumer issues as our topic with our two guests from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Michael Donkey is Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection. Michelle Reinen's official title is Executive Policy Initiatives Advisor within the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. Questions for them? Lines are full, but the number is 800-642-1234. You can also email us. We have some emails, too. Email address ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Let's go to Marty in Campbellsport. Marty, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
Well, I got a text on my cell phone about a week ago that said, there was no name on it, but it said, I sent you a letter about a week ago asking if you'd be interested in selling your house, and then it had my address. I had never gotten a letter, and I'm just wondering if this is some sort of scam to get more information out of me or confirm my address.
Michael?
Well, Marty, it's very possible that that would be a scam. There's a very slim market where we've seen a lot of these letters and phone calls and texts going out looking to purchase homes. And there are some legitimate companies out there who are just outright wanting to buy them. But there's also, of course, that avenue for scamsters to come in and say, hey, they're going to offer you this service, but really in reality they're charging a lot more, or they're going to try and undercut you on the price. And so if you're just getting this random text and doesn't have much information, I would certainly be very cautious about it, especially if you're not in the market to sell right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Marty, thanks for calling. Tom in Buffalo County. Hi, thanks for calling.
Yeah, hello. I've got a question regarding an automobile repair bill for some body work that was done on a car. I don't know if that's in your ballpark or not here.
Yes, it is. I mean, we aren't the auto experts, but we govern the auto repair regulations, yes.
Yeah, anyway, I needed the body work done on this car. It was for my private use and not from an insurance claim. And take the car up there and take it in. He goes, and he starts complaining about, oh, my God, this is going to take this and that. And la, la, la. I go, well, okay, you got to do what you got to do. And, okay, next day he calls me, says, I need a check for $1,000 so I can buy parts for this thing. And it's good faith. So I send him the check for $1,000. And then I wait about 6 weeks, haven't heard from him, and I call him up and I say, well, how are you doing on the car? And he goes, well, geez, I got it on the rack, but I haven't really got it done yet, you know, and this takes a lot of time, you know, it takes a lot of time. Okay, 2 weeks later he calls me. All right, your car's done. yada, yada, yada. And, you know, he's got this crap written down on the bill. He's just got $1,000 parts, $3,500 labor, other stuff, and that's it. There's
Yeah, okay, so this sounds like, well, Michael, you want to address that?
Sure. So Tommy, really what it'll come down to is the estimate that was given and kind of the agreement that you had leading into the work. In Wisconsin, any work that goes over $50 requires to have that estimate. And on that estimate also are there some provisions that give the consumer the option to say, hey, how do I want to be known if there is some increases? And your exact situation of him saying, hey, wait a second, there's a little bit more that needs to be done here. It really depends on what you agreed to. But if it went completely off sideways and you didn't agree to a lot of this stuff, there may be an opportunity for us to help.
And it sounds like there could be, especially if there wasn't a written a statement or estimate to begin with, as required by law, Michelle.
Yeah, what I didn't catch in Tom's explanation is if he delivered the vehicle in person and face-to-face requires written documentation and signature of what you are authorizing up front, as Michael indicated, the authorization for additional work. Even though he called for additional work, it should be, this is what we're going to do for that money. So that yeah. should be documented by the company. It's going to come down to paperwork. And there is, as you said, a disclosure on that paperwork that requires them to state that DADCAP's the agency that works on this as well. So as Michael was alluding to, file a complaint at this point in time and let us take a look at that, or at least go online and take a look at the regulation, the fact sheet that we have on motor vehicle repair and see if things align or go off kilter based on that fact sheet and if you want to file the complaint after looking. But you can call 1-800-422-7128 or go to datcp.wi.gov. But it sounds like a situation we'll be involved in.
Yeah, it certainly does. Tom, good luck. And do make that call or go online and get that information. Steve in Milwaukee will give you a chance now. Hi, Steve.
Hi there. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
So listen, I signed up for a Bank of America new credit card that came pre-qualified in the mail, and my goal was to transfer a balance from another card that was soon, the 0% was soon to end. So as we're going through this, I had to give them all my personal information. It gets approved, and as he's reading the legal part of it before I finalize it all, he says that it basically said I couldn't transfer the balance from the Bank of America card once I had done the balance transfer. I couldn't transfer it later on to another card. Apparently, I would be owed all the interest if I tried it or however, whatever the penalty was going to be, and because I wanted to get that other balance transferred, I foolishly agreed to it. They recorded my voice saying yes, all those kind of things. So it turns out that the number I called to do all this was a third party for Bank of America. Later, a few days later, I called Bank of America, and they said, you know, you agreed to it, it is what it is. Is it legal? Is it just I have to pay it off, or I suffer all the interest in the end, or what happens?
Michael?
Well, Steve, there might, depending on what that mailer is that you got and what representations were made in it, there may be an opportunity for us to help. Because if they led you to believe you were actually speaking directly with Bank of America and, in fact, you were talking to a third party, we can help with that. The other part of it is if we determine that, you know, there was some type of relationship between Bank of America and this company, we'll dig a little deeper and see what that is. The other part, though, I will say is you may have an opportunity to want to reach out to the Department of Financial Institutions, who has some authority over the credit portion of it. And they might be able to help you out and say if they were misled or there may be an opportunity for them to at least talk to the bank and see if they can provide some assistance.
All right, Steve, good luck. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Steve from La Crosse just emailed just to let people know to check website addresses. He wanted to contact the DMV and went to dmv.com instead of dmv.gov.
Yeah, super popular mistake. that can lead to financial harm to consumers, and harm being defined in that it's a service you can do for free and they're asking you to pay oftentimes. But that is something to definitely always watch and be careful of. Very common mistake when you Google that State Department of Transportation or different state agencies, the difference between a .gov, a .org, a .com, and who is the official state service and vendor online for that, because often the .com will do the work for you, but they're going to charge you for it, whereas you could do the work yourself and maybe just pay the registration fee or whatever that's required by the state. Depending upon what was represented to you, you could file a complaint if you engaged any further because of that imposter or misrep that there's there. And it really gets technical into the wording that's used on their website. If they're truly impersonating or if it does word and read just right, like they're offering a service. But this is something we've heard about both from DOT and at DADCAP quite a bit, in an area that you should let us know about.
I'm going to skip one of our and go to number three in terms of the most important ones, because we had an email from Julie who purchased Windows through an installer who apparently has multiple complaints, she found out perhaps later. Her Windows, surprisingly enough, I guess, were actually installed, but now she's having problems with the Windows. The installer has a recording whenever she calls them. Who does she contact her to get help with her window repair?
Well, we should be able to help with that. And here at DADCAP, we have a lot of authority over the home improvement industry in regards to the contracts that are required and what materials are used and things. And as you mentioned, this was our number three complaint in 2022. And most often, the basis of those complaints was failure to render those services or failure to even, you know, show up and provide those. One unique element of Julie's email is the workmanship and the installation. So if it comes down to a matter of you just don't like how it was done, but in fact the work was done, it gets a little bit trickier for us to help out. I would certainly encourage everyone to file a complaint, give us an opportunity to dig into that. But we also look a little bit deeper into what are those contract requirements to make sure that the law was followed, so the consumer does have an understanding of what they're getting, when it should be done, what materials were used. And there's a lot of protections that make sure they get what they pay for.
Yeah, absolutely. Vicki in Lake Mills has a question for us. Let's go there. Hi, Vicki.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I receive regularly two annoying calls. One is regarding a question to me if I receive my new Medicaid card in the mail. The second one involves asking me if I take any medications and then trying to get me to order them from a different source.
How do you get rid of those calls? Yeah.
So there's a few things here that could be done, and it depends on the type of phone number that they're calling. So the second call sounds like they're trying to sell you something because it's a medical service or order that they're trying to sell. And so that would be regulated by the state do not call list. And if you are on the list, that would be a call that's in violation. So that's something to file a complaint about if you're on the list. If you're not on the list, put your number on the list. Mm-hmm. If they're calling a cell phone or a smartphone of some sort, there are apps you can download to help you block calls and block scam calls. There's also federal regulations that went into place that we think are really helping, the TRACED Act, that requires telecommunications providers to authenticate numbers that are coming through. So you might see things that are indicated as scam likely or unknown number or blocked caller. So I say that in that this number is getting through, so it might be quote legitimate. Mm-hmm. But we know that when they ask you if you've received your Medicaid card, that is a scam, because they're not going to call and ask you about that. So if you have the app, block it, but report that as well to Consumer Protection, and we share that information with Medicaid and Medicare, so they have it as well.
Yeah, Michael, you were going to add something.
Yeah, if I could just promote one service we offer, too. If you call our hotline at 1-800-422-7128, we have a fast-track option that will allow you to just enter those phone numbers. And that's why we encourage everyone to record those with us so we can see if there's a pattern for particular numbers and give us an opportunity to take a deeper look and stop them.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Vicki, for calling. Appreciate your call. I want to jump back to our top 10 list because I skipped one. I went to number three, but number four is one that I'm sure we have had questions about over the years, many of them, when you folks have visited. And number four is telecommunications.
So yeah, this year, the telecommunications encompasses a couple things. One is the, you know, billing disputes with cell phone providers, but also coverage issues, both for cell phone and internet. And this past year, we had an opportunity to work with a company. Of course, this all was generated by complaints, bringing to our attention some of the issues of what was being represented as certain speeds, coverage areas, things like that. And as a result of us being able to assist those consumers, we had this company commit to investing $15 million into their infrastructure here in Wisconsin. So it's an example of how complaints really do make a difference and how we can work with these companies to get it rectified.
Yeah, that's great, because there was certainly plenty of questions in that regard. Well, we went, number three was home improvement, and we talked about that. But number two is telemarketing, and we've certainly had questions about that.
We sure have. In all reality, the number of complaints related to telemarketing has decreased from last year and previous years as well. I mean, it had been on a slow decline now the last couple of years in that number of complaints. This is about those robocalls that we actually, I don't think we've talked about robocalls today, the automated ones, but we've talked about the different spoofing, imposter scams, just kind of harassment and do not call in general, those unsolicited, unwanted phone calls. The thing here to note is what I mentioned earlier. We really believe that this decrease is about the authentication protocols that have been put in place and that people are getting less calls. So what we don't want to do is be blinded by calls because people aren't reporting. So if you are still receiving these calls and you are on do not call and you're being asked to purchase something or you're receiving a scam, be sure you file that complaint. Michael mentioned the fast track form by calling the hotline. You can use the fast track form online as well. So you don't even have to call the hotline. You can just go at midnight tonight and record all your complaints if you want. And we'll have those numbers. We do share them with the Federal Trade Commission. So we look at this issue nationally for sure, because they're not just calling our state.
And, you know, we've said this many times over the years. I don't think we mentioned it today, but how do you get on the do not call list?
Yeah, you can go to our website and we link you to the Federal Trade Commission's website where you can just enter the phone number that you want, your landline or your cell phone. It needs to be a residential number, so you shouldn't be registering your business number there, even though we know that scammers call businesses and things. And you just enter that. There's also a phone number that you can call, and they will just provide. You can just call from the number you want to register as well.
But if you go to datcp.wi.gov?
Well, you just go to the Do Not Call, and we link you to the Federal Trade Commission, and you get registered right away.
So it's pretty darn easy.
It's very easy.
Okay.
And if you're already registered, it'll tell you, you know, if you've just forgotten. You don't need to renew. It's forever.
Yeah, there we go. Well, I want to get to number one because it's landlord-tenant issues. Number one complaint, Michael.
Landlord-tenant was our number one complaint, and this year a lot of those really revolved around security deposits and those getting returned. And as we mentioned, one of our goals is to try and educate both sides of the situation, landlords and tenants. And so there's an understanding that security deposits need to be returned within 21 days. And if there's any deductions, those need to be itemized. And so the tenant has an understanding of why maybe they're not getting that full return back. But also one of the things we've encountered is the lack of a forwarding address from the tenants. And so it's important that everyone understands that they need to provide an address to that landlord of where to send the money. You know, sometimes the relationship goes sour and they don't want to let them know where they're going, but they have to keep in mind if they don't know where to send the money, it's going to be kind of hard to get it to them.
Very good point. Well, here we've got Valentine's Day coming, and there's a few things out there relating to scams and the matters of the heart.
There sure are. I know we've talked about this over the years, but we've seen millions of people that turn to social networking and online apps to meet, you know, a new friend, find that love interest, whatever it might be. But unfortunately, they find a scammer at the other end of the line rather than that romance interest. And that person tricks them into giving up money. They're very skilled at doing this. They take their time with this scam. They try and rush the consumer, but through matters of the heart, you know, playing on emotional strings there. And you know, when you fall in love, it's a wonderful world and there can be no wrong, right? So unfortunately, the Federal Trade Commission, that National Consumer Protection partner, has gathered data across the country and reported hundreds of millions of dollars are lost to this form of fraud every year. So it's worth paying attention to. It's worth asking friends about, you know, who they're interacting with online. It's worth engaging because it doesn't have to be a love interest. It can be just a friend interest as well. But if the individual that someone is engaged with in conversation asks you to move to a different platform, a private platform, that's going to be an indicator. If they say that they're living, traveling, or work outside the United States, an indicator. If they have a medical emergency, or if a family member or friend or pet has that emergency. If they indicate that they have housing or legal assistance needs, travel expenses, maybe they say they're with the military and are overseas. Anything that makes it difficult to try and engage and meet, that's going to be something. So
to
one
keep an eye on.
Yeah, one trick you can do is take whatever photo you're given and run a reverse image search and see if that photo of that new love interest that you have appears on other platforms with other names. Ask questions over the period of the relationship and ask them consistently and see if you get the same response and same answers. That's going to be another indicator. But when they start asking for money in large sums and repeatedly, it's time to be done and move away from that. And know that there can be a cryptocurrency twist to this.
And I want to mention the last 30 seconds or so, the consumer guide, DATCP's consumer guide, Michael.
Absolutely. This is a new guide. We've updated. It provides new information. We just talked about romance scams and scamming of the new twists. It'll have that in it, too. And we encourage everyone to take a look at it and find out all the different ways that they can protect themselves, all the new emerging trends, the things they weren't even aware of. It's a free guide. Please go to our website. We'll be happy to download it there, or we can send you a copy.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, and I want to thank you both so much for taking time to be with us today. I really appreciate it, and we'll look forward to your next visit. Thank you both.
Thanks Larry.
Great to have Michelle Ryan and Michael Domke with us from the Bureau of Consumer Trade and Consumer Protection within the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Garden Talk tomorrow, Lisa Johnson and Brian Huddleston are back to give us a little preview of Garden Expo. I'll be with them at 9:30 on Saturday morning to talk to everybody who's there. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store. I'm Larry Mueller.